Case Kiefer here on a scorching Monday afternoon, LasVegasSun.com sports talk. You know, lately we should probably just call it LasVegasSun.com/fighting sports talk because, as you know, kind of a dead time for sports in the Las Vegas Valley here in the summer. Not a whole lot going on. Really, our only thing that we go all out and cover that's still really in its season is fighting. We're in the middle of a big stretch here, fifth week in a row where we have a major national card, UFC on Versus 4. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We'll look at the Strikeforce card last week, first of all. Hope you can bear with me today. It's just me, my two co-hosts, Ryan Green, Ray Brewer, both out of town. So we're going to try to look at some fighting, talk about some news, and we'll also post this as our Fightcasters podcast on LasVegasSun.com. And LasVegasSun.com/fighting. First of all, big event last week in the mixed martial arts world. Kind of the second first round event of the Strikeforce Heavyweight Grand Prix. Two matchups to kind of get to the semifinals. The headliner, Alistair Overeem and Fabricio Werdum, and also Josh Barnett faced off against Brett Rogers. Both these fights, I don't think it'd be fair if you said they went as expected, because they didn't. But the winner did ultimately come out. The heavy favorite came out in both of them. Overeem wins by unanimous decision over Fabricio Werdum in a fight that wasn't the most exciting. I think, you know, a thing you hear over and over, and I hate using cliches, but it seems like I always somehow do, is you hear styles make fights. Well, I think a style kind of broke a fight in this case, because Fabricio Werdum, if you know anything about him, one of the best jiu-jitsu heavyweights in the world, wants to get on the ground and work on submissions. Alistair Overeem, just a guy that used to fight at 205, which now seems unreal because he's about 255 of pure muscle now, just a huge guy. Just really relies on his striking, just trying to hit you with one punch and knock you out. So you had two guys that are really going after different things. And you know, for Doom, just kind of laid on the ground, tried to pull guard, tried to get Overeem to follow him there. Overeem didn't want to, so it kind of turned into a chess match. Neither guy wanted to fight where the other guy did. An interesting thing about this, though, was Fabricio Werdum actually landed more punches than Alistair Overeem, outstruck him. But I guess in the eyes of the judges, he was just stalling the fight so much that they couldn't let him win. Overeem took it. The scores were 30-27, 30-27, and 29-28. Kind of surprising to see those two 30-27s. Like I said, Werdum outlanded him. In the last round, Werdum actually had a submission pretty deep on him. I had it Overeem 29-28. I think you could argue it was Werdum 29-28. But ultimately, Overeem comes out ahead, as expected. And the other fighter that was a big favorite, Josh Barnett, here in Las Vegas Sportsbooks, was almost up to a 4-1 favorite. I think probably somewhere in the 3.5-1 range is probably about right. He did what everyone thought he was going to do. He took down Brett Rogers, really had a dominating performance, won the first round with no problem, and then sunk in an arm triangle choke in the second round to beat Rogers. So he moves on. And now, just to look quickly at the semifinals, they don't have a date yet for when the semifinals are going to be in this Strikeforce tournament, but it's looking like it's going to be October. They wanted August, decided that might be too soon for these two guys that just fought. So expect this sometime in September, maybe mid-October. We're going to have Sergey Karatanov. He's going to fight Josh Barnett. And then Antonio Bigfoot Silva will fight Alistair Overeem, like I said, in the semifinals. So it should be interesting. I think I really was impressed with Josh Barnett. I know he did what everyone expected, but he's looking really good. I think he might be my pick to win this tournament. Overeem, of course, still going to be the betting favorite. I actually haven't looked at the odds, but I bet he's somewhere around probably minus 150 to minus 200 to win out of the four guys remaining, which is pretty high when you have four of the best heavyweights in the world. Two other heavyweights were on this card. I guess before we talk about them, we should just talk about this card in general. I've covered mixed martial arts for LasVegasSun.com for about 6 months now, and one thing that really can kind of bug you about the fighting world is how quick people want to jump in. If there isn't, you know, the fight of the year, one of the best fights you've seen in a long time on a card, people will be down about a card and say, oh, this wasn't very good, what's going on? And usually I try to shrug that off, look at the positive, because, I mean, it's ridiculous. I think it can happen in any sports. You know, if your team goes on a little losing streak, the sky is falling. I think overreaction is just a part of sports, but especially in fighting, I think people are too critical of a card. And with that being said, I think that this Strikeforce card on Saturday was a huge disappointment. It had a lot of hype when it was announced, this tournament in January. It kind of died down because, you know, they didn't have the second card till June. Not a whole lot of people showed up. It wasn't a great attendance. I think it was about 7,000 in Dallas at the American Airlines Center. But it was more than just the attendance that kind of made this a disappointment. Like I said, the Verdum Overeem fight, it just looked like neither guy really wanted to fight the other guy's game, so it was kind of a stalemate. Nothing really happened. Barnett was impressive, but he really just outclassed Brett Rogers, just a much better fighter. And then you look at the reason everyone thought this card was going to be great is there were four other fights that were a part of it that had major implications, not in the tournament, but in other title pictures. And two of those ended really disappointingly. So keep wrapping up this card. We'll talk about those two fights. Lightweight fight between a guy that's been dominating in Japan, JZ Cavalcante. He fought Justin Wilcox in something that was supposed to be a big thing to kind of establish the lightweight title picture in Strikeforce. Well, what happens? Wilcox wins the first round easily, 10-9 on all the judges' scorecards, comes out the second round and gets poked in the eye really bad, can't see. They have to call it off, no contest. So that's not the way you want your card to start for these kind of marquee fights. So that didn't happen. I mean, it's unfortunate. The right call was made. It's a no contest, but it's not something you ever want to see. So that was kind of a downer. And then right after that, I think what was even worse, you saw Chad Griggs, kind of an up-and-comer heavyweight, won all three of his Strikeforce fights. Now he fought Alistair Overeem's older brother, Valentine Overeem, and got Overeem to the ground. Griggs did, beat him easily, but then Overeem tapped out to strikes. That's just not something you see too often. I don't understand how a fighter can tap out to strikes. You're kind of supposed to take a punch if you're in this line of work. So very interesting. I know that this guy's the older Overeem's reputation is that if he gets into trouble, he kind of gives up. Maybe he's held on this long in major promotion like Strikeforce because of his name. He's something like, you know, he's like 26 wins, 21 losses. But really, I don't think there's anything else you can say about his performance other than it was embarrassing against Chad Griggs. To go in there on Showtime, nationally televised, big MMA card, and to tap out the strikes 2 minutes into the fight, pretty disappointing. But don't take anything away from Chad Griggs. He fought very well, really working his way up to the top. And maybe after this tournament is over, he's a guy that you could look at as getting a heavyweight title shot. But if he does that, he's going to have to go through another guy on this card, Daniel Cormier, who, if you don't know much about his story, it's up at lasvegassun.com/fighting. This guy, I almost said kid, but you can't call the guy a kid. He's 32 years old, only had eight MMA fights so far, only has eight MMA so far, excuse me. Won all eight, though. He was a two-time Olympian, Olympian wrestler, came in fourth place in the 2004 Olympics, and is just really torn up the mixed martial arts world right now. He might get the, him and Griggs might fight next, and like I said, 8-0, and he got a unanimous decision over Jeff Monson at the card. He was one of the bright spots, I would say, for sure. Cormier just kept his upward rise, really picked apart Monson all three rounds. All three judges scored at 30-27, and a lot of clamoring that one or two of those rounds could have been a 10-8 round, so he even could have won 30-26 conceivably. I wouldn't disagree with that. I actually think, one judge did score at 30-26, the other two scored at 30-27. Daniel Cormier, a guy you look at that just down the road might have a championship in mixed martial arts. Can't really say much better than that. He's teammates with Cain Velasquez, who, of course, is the UFC heavyweight champion. Couldn't get in the Grand Prix. I mean, like I said, still a newcomer. Kind of when they're putting this Grand Prix together, he only had six fights against no big names. So would have kind of been unfair to throw him in there with guys like Josh Barnett and Alistair Overeem. But he's a great fighter. He's shown that so far. And looking for big things from him. I expect him to want a quick turnaround. Maybe he'll fight in 3 or 4 months. Maybe he'll even be on that next heavyweight card with Karatanov and Barnett and Overeem and Verdum. Getting to the last fight of Strikeforce, I think I saved this one for last because it was by far the best this weekend on Saturday. KJ Nunes and Jorge Masvidal. Nunes was a slight favorite coming into this. Obviously has some name recognition. He was an elite XC champion. Great record. Comes from a kickboxing family. Has been kickboxing since he was 16 years old. In Masvidal, a well-known guy too, but really a thing a lot of people talk about him is he came up through the street fighting ranks, which is kind of weird in this day and age, but he was a Kimbo Slice prodigy. And that's just something that's not looked on highly, I guess. A lot of people in MMA would make fun of that. But let me tell you what, no one's laughing today except for Masvidal. He just dominated KJ Nunes. Unanimous decision, won every round, turned KJ Nunes' face just really into a bloody mess, had a big hematoma on his face. Masvidal looks like he's the real deal right now, and he's probably going to fight Gilbert Melendez, who's the Strikeforce champion, next. I'd say he's the major winner of this card. Strikeforce, of course, not giving fight of the night bonuses like UFC, but Masvidal Nunes would be an easy choice if they were going to. Look for Masvidal Melendez sometime this fall. And look, this is going to be a tough fight for Gilbert Melendez, who looks head and shoulders above everyone else in Strikeforce, but maybe Masvidal will be his match. Masvidal, really a really fast striker, looked really crisp and great in this fight. Maybe he has something to challenge Melendez, who a lot of people now say has surpassed Frankie Edgar and Gray Maynard in the UFC as the best lightweight in the world. And I probably would rank him below those guys just because of his competition, but I gotta say, in terms of you're just looking who looked the best lately, you would have to say Melendez. In April in San Diego, just steamrolled Kawajiri, popular Japanese fighter. Beat Shinya Aoki before that, a consensus top 10 guy. So Melendez definitely has a lot on the line for this last Strikeforce fight. His next Strikeforce fight, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself, it could be his last because they could match him up in the UFC, but Masvidal certainly dangerous, and he can't afford to overlook him because this guy, I mean, hey, we saw what his punches did last Saturday, and why can't it do the same to Melendez? I hope that for Gilbert's sake, he's looking out, because that should be a good fight. So now that we've got Strikeforce out of the way, of course, like I said, another UFC card coming to us this weekend. Fifth week in a row with a major mixed martial arts card. Fourth one of those UFC. And of course, in 2 weeks, we're going to have UFC 132 here. But LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, we'll have plenty of time to break that down with the full crew next Monday. So for now, we're going to talk about the UFC On Versus 4 card for Sunday, June 26th. I know Sunday, kind of a weird day for MMA. We're used to Saturday, but Versus likes to put it on different days. It's going to be 12 fights, all free, all aired. Facebook.com live stream for the first eight. If you go to the UFC fan page, you can figure that out. The next four will be on Versus. Fourth card on Versus, like I said, and headlined by a pretty intriguing welterweight clash here. Nate Marquardt and Rick Story. Nate Marquardt, making his welterweight debut, was supposed to fight Anthony Johnson, probably the biggest welterweight in the world. He cuts down from about 230 in his training camps to get there, which is just insane. But anyway, Anthony Johnson gets hurt. They need an opponent for Nate Marquardt. This probably all happened about 2 weeks ago, story on LasVegasSun.com. And they ultimately get Rick Story to fill in. Rick Story, as you know, if you listened to this broadcast a couple weeks ago, fought here at UFC 130 and defeated Thiago Alves by unanimous decision. He was an underdog, still kind of an up-and-coming guy at 13-3, and takes this fight on less than a month's notice, which kind of seems crazy against a guy like Nate Marquardt, who, you know, as far as name recognition, probably in the top 10% of fighters in the world, I would say. Been in the UFC forever, 34-10, with two draws on his record. And his first fight at 170, he spent all the time at 185. Now at 170, taking on Rick Story, who is looking for, you know, if he wins this, Rick Story, this puts him at the most one fight away from a title shot at 170. I mean, the guy has won six in a row and has looked impressive doing it. Beat Thiago Alves, former number one contender. Nate Marquardt, if he beats him, this guy's a former number one contender at middleweight. So it would be really impressive. No betting line out on this yet. I've been looking, been waiting, hoping we would get it before the show, but no betting line still. I would expect Marquardt to be somewhere in the 2-1 favorite range, which I think would be just right. Look, I mean, the guy's just so much bigger. He's a little more seasoned. It's hard to see Story outstriking him. Maybe if Story can out-wrestle him, he can get a decision win here, but it's going to be hard to out-wrestle a guy that's this big. With Marquardt dropping to 170, you got to think he's going to be one of the bigger welterweights. And Rick Story, more just average size for a welterweight. So, you know, I'm as big as a Rick Story supporter as there is. I mentioned our last show. I gave him as the upset pick of the week at UFC 130 over Alves. Obviously, he proved us right getting a unanimous decision. But this just looks like a really tough matchup for him with Nate Marquardt. Last saw Nate Marquardt at UFC 128, where he beat Dan Miller with a unanimous decision. So Marquardt kind of getting back together after he lost two fights last year to be the number one contender, dropping down to 170, facing Rick Story. I like Marquardt in this fight. That would be my pick. So Nate Marquardt, Rick Story. In the co-main event, Czech Congo facing Pat Barry, another heavyweight fight. Seems like we keep bringing up heavyweights week after week. So many heavyweight bouts going on lately in the UFC, and this is a pretty good one. Czech Congo, right now I think at this point of his career, he's really just, you know, a gatekeeper. And that's, you know, if you're not familiar with fighting lingo, what that means is to get to the top tier of the UFC, you got to beat a guy like Congo. If you lose to him, you are never going to be bound to face, you know, the top guys, the Lesnars, the Dos Santoses, the Velasquez, even the Mirs of the world. Congo, he kind of just feasts on lower competition, but when he gets up to that top tier, he can't do it. He's got a guy that's a middle of the road right now, Pat Barry, who he's fighting, and Barry's looking to get back up into the top. But there's a problem with Pat Barry. He's 6-2, but he's really a throwback to the older days of MMA, and specifically the UFC, and maybe not a throwback in such a good way. Here's the thing. This guy is a phenomenal kickboxer, has probably the best kicks in the UFC. You don't want to see your legs the day after you fight Pat Barry because they're going to not look good, welts all over. But really, that's about all he has going for him. He does one thing really well and hasn't looked great in anything else, especially his ground game. Needs some work. He dominated Mirko Krokop, or maybe not dominated, but was ahead when they fought last summer, about a year ago. And then in the third round, Krokop got him to the ground and submitted him. So Pat Barry, like I said, not as well-rounded as Congo. So Congo's a slight favorite. I think he's about minus 140. Hard to argue against that because, like I said, you know, if Barry wins, it's going to be because he's kept the feet on the ground. Not kept the fight on the ground. He kept the fight standing. And outstrikes Congo or knocks him out. It's just hard to see that happening. I mean, Congo's so much more experienced, good wrestler, and bigger. He's probably going to be about 10 pounds bigger than Pat Barry. So while you kind of want to see Barry win because it means it's going to be a more exciting fight, it's hard to argue against what Congo has done to guys like Barry. And I think Congo beats Barry. Barry's job, not really on the line. He's looked pretty good in his last fight against Joey Beltran, won a unanimous decision. But what this will do to his career is Congo will just knock him down again, and maybe Barry is always going to be forced to be in kind of that middle tier of guys in the heavyweight class. Still some interesting fights there for him, but not where he wants to be. Got to look at Czech Congo and probably like this matchup for him in the co-main event of UFC On Versus 4 Sunday. I'm Case Kiefer, LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Also going to post this as a Fightcasters podcast on LasVegasSun.com/fighting. Broke down Nate Marquardt and Rick Story. Broke down Czech Congo and Pat Barry, the two headlining contests for UFC On Versus 4. But really, I think there's a better heavyweight fight on this card than Congo Barry, and I think it's one that you're going to want to tune in early on to Versus for it's the first fight on Versus. I think the Versus telecast starts at 6 p.m. local time with Matt Mitrione and Christian Moorcraft. Another heavyweight fight. Two guys that are going to be right at the 265 limit. Two guys that have looked very good. Mitrione, of course, former football player, was a standout at Purdue University and went on to play for the Minnesota Vikings in the NFL. Short career, then came up through the Ultimate Fighter ranks in the UFC. Moorcraft, on the other hand, just a straight fighter. That's all he's ever done. No football background or anything like that for him. But, you know, combined, these two guys have an 11-1 record. Mitrione undefeated at 4-0 and has just looked really good lately. Moorcraft 7-1, lost one fight to Stefan Struve in his UFC debut, but came back last time and beat McCorkle, second round submission, I believe. Maybe first, no, second round submission for Christian Moorcraft. So Mitrione Moorcraft. Should be a great fight. Another fight there's no betting odds out in Las Vegas yet for, but I got to think it's going to be about even. I think I'm going to go with Mitrione here. He might be a slight underdog. But I think one thing that might come into this is Mitrione looks like he might be a little bit better conditioned. If this fight drags on, which I don't see either of these guys finishing each other right away because, I mean, they're both good defensively. I'm not going to just allow the other guy to land one big shot. So I kind of see this dragging on. I could see Mitrione winning a decision here, but this is a fight, early candidate for fight of the night. One you're going to want to see. The first of four fights on UFC on Versus 4 main card, which will air on Versus at 6, like I said earlier. So I guess we need to touch on the only one we haven't talked about on the main card. Haven't talked about it because really, it's not that intriguing. I won't lie to you. I won't try to sell it as you know, the fight of the night. But Matt Brown and John Howard in a welterweight scrap. Matt Brown, 13-10. John Howard, 14-6. You look at this and say, you know, how did this get kind of a situation between Congo and Barry? Well, it's kind of easy. Martin Campman trains out of Las Vegas at Extreme Couture, was supposed to fight John Howard, and obviously that would have been a little bit more a matchup that you could sell to the fans. Two guys that are pretty well known. Well, Campman got hurt, had to pull out. They bring in Matt Brown, who somehow still has a spot in the UFC, which was somewhat surprising. He's lost three in a row. There was a day and age in the UFC where if you lost three in a row, you were gone. But, you know, I guess just we keep bringing back up that there's been six fights in 6 weeks after July 2nd. I guess when you have that many fights, you got to keep some guys around. So Matt Brown, despite losing three in a row, is back. Will fight John Howard. I got to say, though, if he loses this one, you got to think his UFC career is over. You can't lose four fights in a row and still be in the world's best fighting promotion. John Howard also lost two in a row. But, you know, he has some talent. He's a quick guy, athletic guy. Got to like him in this fight. Not sure how it's going to go. I mean, both guys pretty well-rounded, can do everything, but probably going to lean towards Howard here. Brown, just a pretty big step up in competition, supposed to be in the preliminary card. It would be huge for him if he could win. Obviously, he would keep his job, like I said, so that's pretty big, but not going to take him here. Let's go to the preliminary card where Brown is supposed to be. I think the preliminary card is what makes this this whole evening in Pittsburgh, where my usual co-host Ray Brewer is right now following around the Pirates in Pittsburgh. Too bad he's not staying until Sunday to cover this for us. But I think one thing that makes this card intriguing is that the depth of the undercard. At the top, you have two guys that are really well known in the UFC. Tyson Griffin and Joe Stevenson, both have been around for a long time. Both fought at 155 pounds. Both are kind of on a downhill climb right now. Both are on a losing streak, and both have decided to make the jump down to 145 pounds, the featherweight division. They're both going to face their first featherweight opponents. Tyson Griffin will be against Manny Gamborian. And look, this is a tough matchup for Tyson Griffin. Gamborian, one of the best 145 pounders in the world. His last fight, in fact, was a WEC event in September. He fought the champion, Jose Aldo. Obviously didn't come out on top, or else we'd be talking about him on a pay-per-view headliner, probably. But that just shows you that this guy easily top 10. Some would still probably put him in the top 5. And so for Tyson Griffin, who's on a losing streak, to jump down and have to face a guy like this, that's tough. Griffin, can he use his size? Can he use his strength to win? Sure. That's why it's intriguing. That's why it should be a good fight. Griffin and Gamborian. On the other hand, Stevenson gets Javier Vasquez. Not the Major League Baseball pitcher, as you can probably imagine, the more famous sports name. But the fighter, another good guy, not quite on Gamborian's level, but he's had about 5-6 fights in the WEC. Quick guy, but Stevenson also probably going to use his might, his strength, his size to get by this. Tough fights to call. I kind of like Stevenson in the Vasquez fight. I just think that he's still a pretty good fighter, even though he lost to Danny Castillo in March. He's dropped 3 in a row. I think he's going to get a win. And hate to pick against the Vegas guy, Tyson Griffin, who trains here. He also trains at Extreme Couture. But I think Gamborian, pretty tough matchup for him. So we'll go Gamborian. Just quickly, a few other fights on the undercard. Nick Lentz and Charles Oliveira. Pretty interesting. I think this speaks to a lot of things we talk about a lot on the show that have to do with UFC. You have one guy who's unbeaten in the UFC, Nick Lentz. He's had 6 fights, won 5. One went to a draw. But he's still, you know, at the bottom of these cards, not really making a name for himself. And the reason why is because he's so unexciting. He never does anything that anyone talks about. He just out-wrestles guys. So I guess in the UFC, when a guy like Lentz says everyone loves a winner, winning means everything, well, apparently it doesn't, because you're still at the bottom of a card. Fighting Charles Oliveira, who's 21 years old, just lost his first fight last December to Jim Miller, which was kind of a rapid rise up the ranks for Oliveira, which is also indicative of MMA. It's not like boxing where you really try to groom your stars. Oliveira got thrown in against Miller, who's going to probably be the next challenger for the lightweight belt after we settled the score between Gray Maynard and Frankie Edgar, and didn't do so well. You know, got submitted early in the fight, but he's back taking on Lentz. This is really pretty intriguing fight because Oliveira is an exciting guy, really good at jiu-jitsu, pretty well-rounded. He's going to be going for submissions. Lentz is going to try to wrestle him. I don't know if he's going to let him. Really see this being a toss-up and could go either way. So that's one you're going to want to watch on Facebook. It comes right before Charlie Brenneman and TJ Grant, another welterweight fight. Should be pretty good. Both guys, I think, 2-2 in the UFC. And right after them, another welterweight fight, Daniel Roberts and Rich Antonito. So UFC on Versus 4, that's a quick look at the card. An interesting thing today that came out that kind of has to do with this card, Spike TV will be showing a Nate Marquardt marathon to run in competition with it. Seems crazy because, you know, Spike TV and UFC such long partners, but their contract is running up. It's up at the end of the year. So it's your choice. Do you want to watch a live card on Versus or Spike TV, a marathon of Nate Marquardt's greatest hits? We'll let you make that choice in the next 6 days. From Case Kiefer, that's it here at LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. And whatever comes our way, yeah.